for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, December the 29th, 1979. Midwinter camp meeting, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. David Bunch, Sr. of Van Nuys, California, is the speaker of the evening.
Father, I thank you for your anointing to rest on Brother Bunch this evening. Lord, give him understanding of your word, giving wisdom, giving the knowledge, Lord, of rightly dividing it, that your people may grow in the word of the Lord and in the knowledge of your soon coming. We thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord to rest upon him tonight. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
So thankful for all of you being here and your kind words, your thoughtfulness in every way. It's a joy to serve the Lord, isn't it? You know, I was thinking about that hole in the sky. How in the world was it raining inside here when there was no clouds up there? Amen. Amen. God is so good to us, isn't he? Tonight, we want to welcome you new people, or the new ones, to the camp meeting. God has been very gracious to us here. There have been a lot of deliverances, been a lot of things that have taken place in a very precious, precious way. Now, I want to, two nights ago, we preached on the 133rd Psalm. And I'd like you to take your Bibles and see if we can't just begin right there and finish the message that we talked about. Maybe tonight we can sort of review quickly for some of you that were not here before, but the 133rd Psalm, let us read it together. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head, the red down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garment. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commended the blessing, even life forevermore. Hallelujah. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now let us just bring in the thought that we had the other night and that we preached upon. Unity here, it says, how precious, how wonderful it is when brethren gather or dwell together in unity. And then God compares it like the precious ointment or anointing oil that is upon the priest. Unity is like oil. Oil is like the unity. In other words, without the unity in a family, without the unity in a church, without the unity in the body of Christ, the oil of God cannot flow all the way down in its intended purpose, and it cannot accomplish that that God wants it to accomplish. Now, this oil or this flowing is upon the priest. The oil came down upon the beard. Now, a beard implies a full maturity. David was anointed when he was 15 years old in his father's Jesse's home. That was a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But that wasn't the anointing to set upon the throne when he became 30 years old. He was anointed again, and the oil came upon his beard. When he reached maturity, then it was that he received an anointing to rule and to reign. But the oil had to flow all the way down. You see, Joseph was 30 years old before he sat upon the throne in Egypt and ruled. And David was 30 years old before he sat upon the throne and ruled. And Jesus Christ was 30 years old when the anointing came to begin his wonderful ministry. 30. We could go on with that. We could speak concerning the Noah's Ark and the dimensions of it and all of these things, but we want to get on into our message. But the maturity is the thing. And beloved, when the church comes,
to that third division. The way of the Lord is in the sanctuary. The way of the Lord is in the sanctuary. The outer court, salvation. Into the holy place, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And on into the third veil, three divisions, three divisions. We could go into the dimensions. The veil here is 5 by 20. That's 100. The veil here is 10 by 10. That's 100. And the veil here is 10 by 10. And that's another 100. And that's 300. Noah's Ark was 300 cubits long. It was 50 cubits wide. And 50 in the middle is Pentecost. And here's your baptism of the Holy Ghost, the oil. The light there, the light out here is the light of the world. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show forth his handiwork. But the light here is the light of the Holy Ghost, the light of the oil. But beloved, we're coming towards a place where the light is the Shekinah glory. Hallelujah. And then that ark, again, was divided up into 1, 2, 3 stories. The way of the Lord, the progression of the Lord, is in the sanctuary. He showed unto the children of Israel his works, but unto Moses his way. And God desires for us to go in the way of the Lord. There are scriptures in the Old Testament that says they are out of the way. They have erred in the way. They have gone their own way. Now the oil and the priest robe is divided up in the same dimensions. It's divided up into the neck and the midsection, and then on down to the hem, the robe, into three complete places or complete parts. And that oil, the anointing oil of the priesthood, is to flow down upon God's children who are to be kings and priests unto God. And if we are going to be what God wants us to be, we must be in unity. Not only unity with God, in fellowship with him, not allowing anything to hinder that unity and that fellowship, but also in unity with one another. God doesn't like a contentious, well, the Bible says a contentious woman. It speaks of it. Yeah, mister, smile, because you're the woman right now. I know, we like to put it on them. But mister, remember, God said love your wife as Christ loved the church. If you want to find criticism, I think maybe the greatest fault of all will be on the man's part, because he surely hasn't come into that love yet. That wife may be far more submissive to you than you are loving to her. Oh, oh, oh. How quiet it's got. All you ladies, say amen now. Bless God. Well, glory be to God. Amen. I better get back up here where I got a chance to run, you know. All righty. Well, and so we went on, and we said that the oil is to come down upon the hem, on the skirt of that garment. And that skirt has a golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. Now, those that oil is to come down to that skirt area. And that's the area that we're in. As the progression here is of the church, so the progression in the priesthood and the robes also depict the plan of God and the purpose of God. And we are coming to that hem area, the oil upon the hem of this last day ministry. What is happening in the church world today? Well, there's been a revival of dancing. Do I need to tell you about that? Glory be to God. There's a revival of dancing in the Spirit. There's a revival of singing in the Spirit. There's a revival of clapping hands and giving praise unto God. The bells are ringing. Glory be to God. And the other night we talked about that, because in between are pomegranates. A golden bell and a pomegranate. And that pomegranate divided up is two triangles. Or the Trinity of God and the Trinity of man. The man Christ Jesus. And the Trinity of the living God interfolded. The Star of David is the same thing, isn't it? Huh? The Trinity of God and the Trinity of man. And we, beloved, are incorporated in that, because there are those that are to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. That Benjamin Company. Joseph, a type of Jesus Christ, and Benjamin, a type of this last day ministry, and so forth. Those of you that have missed the rich teaching in the morning, my, get the tapes. Get the tapes of Brother Lee Ellingwood. They've been rich. And a golden bell, and then that fruitfulness. We brought that out, too. I'll see if I can get higher on the chord tonight. You see, that's discord. And without the pomegranates in, the bells clang together. But with fruitfulness in your life, there's harmony. Show me your faith by your works. Show me your walk of God. By their fruits ye shall know them. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness. We have no right to be contentious. And if you are in awkward situations in your home, in the church, but there is no matter what the person... You see, beloved, it's not what happens to you that makes the difference. It's how you react to it that makes the difference. It isn't what people do or things or situations or what happens to you that's going to spell the difference in eternity as far as you're concerned, but it is how you react to it that will make the difference. And this beautiful story is painted in so many beautiful ways. Brother Lee has the head in the Holy of Holies. His name is Jesus. That's the head in the church. But you can take this priest and put him around just the other way, because it works both ways. And you find the head is where the blood sacrifice has been offered, which is Jesus. And you'll find the hands are in the holy place where the hand ministry are. And you'll find the feet in the Holy of Holies, for there will be a feet ministry in this last day. A feet ministry are a people that will be washed. The feet that will take the rest of the body on into the Holy of Holies. The feet of the high priest. And we have studied and we know that it is the priest that is going to inherit or go in. You are going into the Holy of Holies as a priest. And there you will receive the crown. And it's the feet area that will carry you on in. How beautiful are the feet. The feet shall tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and he shall in no wise hurt them. It is the feet area, don't you see? And it is the golden bells and the pomegranates that are the sounding and the results of what is happening in this day in which we're living. The oil, beloved, is coming down to the hem. Now that noise is not just noise, but it brings unity. It separates you. It makes you a peculiar people. It labels you. But it is also, beloved, a sign that the man-child is being formed in the womb. He is being formed now, I believe, with all my heart. God is separating that man-child to be born. He is still within the church. Listen, don't listen to anybody that says he's over here. Don't listen to anybody that says he's over there. Go not out. Because when he is born, he will have a supernatural body, and we will know it. We will know it. We will know it. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we get into the message that I want to start with tonight in the same portion of Scripture. It talks about the oil coming down to the skirt of this garment. And beloved, the word skirt here is the same word used in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, where it says the Lord's train, or hem, or skirt, filled the temple. Now let it soak in a little bit. This skirt area, if you please, in the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah 6, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, what is his train? What did we just find out his train was? The same word as the skirt area, the hem area, the area where the oil is coming down upon that hem area. And that thin area, if you please, that skirt area, is going to be filling the temple. Speaking of a people going into the Holy of Holies, we have found that the hymn or train of the Lord is speaking of that last day ministry in which you and I are pressing on in. And the Lord was sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His anointed people of this last day filled the temple. Well, I thought you'd get excited about that. Oh, my, 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 my. Now, when did this happen? Because, you see, we can see. But if you don't know how to get there, didn't Moses see it from afar off, the promised land? I want to know how to get there. And there are certain things, beloved, that we take care of. It's well to know about the throne. It's well to know about the future. But, beloved, it will be yours as you take care of the here and now. You're going to be crowned in the by and by if you take care of the how, now and how. Not now and now. Got too many words in there, didn't I? And this is important, that we qualify. For my Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. And if you'll read in the 17th chapter of Revelation, the ones that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. And there's one thing required of a steward, and that's that he be faithful. There has to be a unity and a consistency in our lives, first of all. And there has to be a dedication and a surrender for it. When did this happen? In the year that King Uzziah died. You see, our hearts can only seat one monarch on the throne at a time. When will it happen? When God's people take self off the throne and allow the Lord to be high and lifted up. We're coming into great liberty. But there is never any scripture that negates or does away with, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Holiness is still, it's out of style. Those that want to go on out into the outer court, those that will be sent into the outer court, there is a move to try to embrace the outer court and bring it into the veil of the holy place and compromise into that and build a church there. Beloved, that isn't the way of the Lord. It is not the plan of God. The plan of God is for us to move on. Could this be connected with those that put their hands to the plow and look back? As long as any other king rules, our vision of God and His plan will be marred. When the children of Israel came to the promised land, they had to bring down the walled cities. They had to conquer some things. And God is calling us as we see the vision, beloved, to press on in and let God have His way. Uzziah is indicative of much more than self. You see, Uzziah is a type of Satan. He cannot have a place in our lives. It was only after Uzziah was dead that Isaiah could be cleaned and truly answer the call of God. There is coming a washing of the water by the Word. There are truths that are being revealed in this last day that are going to set you free. There is a happening, beloved, that Daniel saw, that he started to write. And the angel said, "Seal it up. It's not to be revealed until the last days." And we believe we're in the last days, don't we? Well, then what Daniel saw should be being revealed. And it is, beloved. For those who are hungry, those who are called, those that are listening, they're hearing the voice of the Lord and the calling of the Lord. It was only after Uzziah died that Isaiah could answer the call. Only then did Isaiah see himself as he was, unclean. That, I think, beloved, that's one of the biggest obstacles of all, is for us to acknowledge that we need help. To come to the place where we realize and quit trying to cover up, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper."
And it's only, and we could certainly go into the scriptures right now to prove that it is the children's bread. There's no reason in the world why God would take a sinner that is an epileptic and set them free and leave a saint of God with epilepsy and let them continue with it. It belongs to the children of God. But pride and tradition and self-righteousness and vainglory and braggadocio has crowded out the reality of just exactly what God wants to do. And so the first message that we preached, if you remember, was upon in every house, 2 Timothy, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. There are vessels of gold and silver, and there are vessels of wood and earth. And if a man will purge himself of these, then will he be meet for the master's use. You want to be used of God, then allow God to purge you, set you free. Isaiah is a type of you and me, suddenly realizing that more work needs to be done in us. The confession of our need is the very first step. Isaiah 5, Isaiah confessed his need. And then flew one of the seraphims unto him. Only after confession. The Bible says in 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession precedes the cleansing. And there is a condition there. If, you see, there are so many things that are laid upon God's children that we ignore, refuse to acknowledge. Our nation, my Watergate, all the president, all the Congress. That isn't what God's Word says. God's Word says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then, he said, he'll hear from heaven and heal their land. Amen. The responsibility that God places and the power and the authority that you and I have. I remember a denomination that didn't believe in the baptism, that prayed until probation was voted in across America. How much more, beloved, power do those spirit-filled people have if they would really dwell in unity? You say, but Brother Bunch, I don't care what they do. What about you? Are you contentious? Then stop it. When self dies, there's a change in your life. Amen? Have you ever seen a corpse in the coffin? You ever gone to a funeral and seen a corpse sit up and say, how do you all like my new suit? Not any pride there, is there? Huh? Did you ever see one sit up and say, hey, Charlie, what are you sitting over there for? You know what they did to me when I was alive. No hurt feelings, huh? The Bible even says there's a place where the wicked one touches us not. Huh? Yes, 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 yes. Do you ever see a corpse sit right up and go, huh? A place where the wicked one touches us not. Let us not be so high and mighty and lifted up. There's yet much land to be possessed. There's a lot more dying out to self, because there's a place when we don't get headaches, we don't get colds, a place where the wicked one touches us not. But with our mouth we say, well, we've always had it. We don't know what the common cold is. It's a demon power. Thank you. Amen. Bless God. Hallelujah. Oh, God's good to us, isn't he? In the year King Uzziah died, when Isaiah confessed, then it was that God was able to anoint him with an oil, with an anointing that came down to the skirt that gave him a new commission. It was then that he had a vision, beloved, and he began to line up with God's eternal plan. It was there even with Isaiah, because he saw the train or God's people, the hymn area, the golden bells and the pomegranates, still in the temple. He saw them inside, if you please. Glory be to God. Well, you know, men don't want to acknowledge their need for deliverance. Thus, no help for them. They fight the same old thing again and again and again and again. you fast and pray, if you surrender to the Lord, and that is still there, then you need deliverance. We've preached for years and years, it's the old nature. It's the old man. The old man is crucified with Christ at Calvary. But we use Calvary, but the power that God gives us at Calvary, for these signs shall follow them that believe. And it is deliverance, the ministry of deliverance that you need. Jesus went about casting out devils. And he said, the works that I do shall you do also. And where did he do it? He did it in the household of God, in the household of Israel. He refused the Syrophoenician woman because he said it was the children's bread. So, there's no help until we come to the place where we are willing to kill Uzziah, where we're willing to bring him to death and let God be enthroned totally and completely upon our lives. To become fully conscious of one's own unworthiness, lack, nothingness in the sight of God, beloved, is a treasure because it is facing the reality and placing you into a place where God can use you. Numbers of Christians go through their entire walk with God unaware that there is a need in their life. Well, I just... after all, he was brought up in a bad time. You know, I mean, he was brought up in a rough family. Oh, how we make excuses. But my Bible says old things are passed away, all things are become new. There's to be a change. We're to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling, the Bible says. Well, many have a very high opinion of themselves, even though God's Word says not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And that the proud he knoweth afar off. Let's let Uzziah die. You say you want more of God? You say your soul is crying out to be a part of that man-child, a part of that seed area, a part of the priesthood that goes through the third veil? Then prepare yourself to be chosen. Prepare yourself to be a part of that. Isaiah's deliverance came. You see in the 7th verse, thine iniquities is taken away. The thorns that would choke out his testimony and his life for God were taken away. The wood and the earth, spoken of in 2 Timothy, was unrighteous vessels, were taken away. The dishonorable vessels were taken away. And it was finally done, if you please, by God himself. The final deliverance will come to God's children. Don't anybody say, oh, I'm totally free. Listen, be honest. Let me tell you, Brother Bunch is still undergoing deliverance. See, the little tiny process is for the vine. If you want to be qualified, then work at it. Begin to bring self under subjection. Bring your place, your a life into a unity with God that says study to show yourself approved. Have your Bible studies. Have your Bible reading every day. Bring yourself in to line with the Word of God that you will have your prayer closet. Bring yourself into line, for let a husbandman first become a partaker of the fruit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness. Bring yourself into line until there is a submissiveness and a surrender that God can use. Learn to walk with God so close that when he has a need, he doesn't have to say, hey, Charlie. He can whisper because he speaks in a still, small voice. Amen? Become God inside you minded. You'll be a lot less worldly troubled. Amen? As you walk down life's pathway, be aware that he never leaves you nor forsakes you. He sticketh closer than a brother, and he hears you give that person a peace of mind. I'm talking about qualifying. You see, though we are pressing on into new truths, We cannot do away with the foundation that God has given us in the Word of God. For many are called, but few are chosen. And those that are chosen are those that have lined up and yielded unto God to be what God wants them to be. You see, we're to be Christ-like. Amen? And so, therefore, there is never any situation whatsoever, that allows you permission not to be Christ-like. Well, glory. Amen. In the year King Uzziah died, iniquity was taken away. And beloved, the more you die out to self, the more deliverance you will have. But let me say this. As you seek deliverance, also seek the Word of God and the praise of God to fill that space. It is equally important because my Bible says that the demons wandered and came back and found the vessel still clean but empty, and the last part of that was worse than the beginning. You cannot have deliverance without also studying the Word of God and praising the Lord and entering on in, or else you will regress, or else you will end up worse than you started. Oh, you say, well, I know something. Listen. You can be puffed up with pride that is worse than almost anything else. For the proud he knoweth afar off. Amen. Well, glory be to God. Isaiah came in to deliverance. The iniquity was taken away. The sin was purged. God is going to wash the feet in this last day of his people, of his priest. He's going to wash the feet. Then will come the call for Peter to get out of the boat. He was with them. He fed them. He launched out the boat. Then in the fourth watch at night, the last hours of darkness, he came back to the boat in a way they had not anticipated and called Peter out of the boat to experience a supernatural experience. Then he came back to the boat. And immediately they were on the other side. The whole boat was on the other side. Jesus Christ was here and fed us with the Word of God. Then he launched the church out as he went up apart to pray. Then in the fourth watch at night, the last hours of darkness, he's coming back to move and call a people out of a people. He's coming back to form even now, while it's yet dark, the man-child into the womb so that he can call that man-child out of that boat and transform him into a supernatural experience and walk with him. Hallelujah! Amen! And there will be a people, beloved, that will taste of it because God said, the works that I do shall you do also. Now, I've heard of a lot of wonderful things, but I haven't seen anybody walking on the water yet. Over in Indonesia, we have heard some beautiful stories of the water turned into wine as they prayed over it. But, beloved, the body of Christ is a whole, for God will have a people that will do the works that he did and greater works. And, beloved, it is not so. Satan will stand and mock in hell through eternity and say, you said that he would do it like you did, but I got in front of it. But it'll never happen. Amen. And where is it going to happen? God's not going to take us out to a cabin in the sky and change us. It's going to happen here. Yes. So when Satan came in the garden, he didn't take Adam and Eve out and change them. He did it right there. And in order for God to turn it, he's got to come into this garden where there's none righteous, no, not one, and transform our lives. And he'll have a people that'll get out of the boat and walk on the water. Amen. Now, the fact that he sunk beneath water, death, burial, and resurrection, the two witnesses are killed. Death, burial, after their ministry, and resurrected. Amen. And then they come back to the boat, and immediately the boat's on the other side. The rest implies the man-child will get out ahead of time. Now, you see, I don't teach that the man-child and the two witnesses are the same, except that they are the woman and the child. What did Jesus do when he was upon Calvary? He took care of the woman that gave him birth. And God will take care of that woman. The woman that gives birth will go into the wilderness, into a place. He will protect that woman as he brings judgment and purges the rest of that holy place. Where Satan's seat is. Where all of the pollution, false tongues and witchcraft and backbiting and all of the other trash that we've polluted. We've polluted everywhere we've been. We even went into the moon. And we polluted, we left our trash there, didn't we? And God's not going to let a pollution go into the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He called them out of the boat, and they tasted of the supernatural experience. Beloved, when he confessed, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. When he confessed that he wanted to go God's way regardless, then he got out of the boat. Now, I know, beloved, are you ready for the oil and the hymn? Are you willing to be a part of that saturation of the anointing that is coming upon the hymn area? Are you willing to let the bells ring? Or when strangers come in the church, do you sort of say, well, don't ring too loud, just sort of tinkle a little bit. Glory, glory, glory. It's surprising sometimes, isn't it? Fear of man. Well, will you be one of those that will fill the temple? There will cry in your heart for holiness and being what God wants you to be? Are you willing to let King Uzziah die and quit wanting your own way? Are you really wanting to qualify? Do you really want to qualify? Then begin to bring your life into a place of surrender to God and acknowledge, it's me, O Lord, stand in the need of prayer. Not the preacher, not the deacon, not even Lee Ellingwood, but it's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. I said that because he's sitting back there looking at me. It's so easy, beloved, to find fault. But that very fault finding is a spirit that you need deliverance from. So easy to be a nitpicker. But it's quite evident that you have not died out to self. In the year that King Uzziah died, the coals were brought from off the altar, and he was transformed and given a higher commission than he had ever known. And beloved, when the oil comes down to that time where the train or the hymn fills the temple, it is at that time, if you please, that God is going to take us on in to fill that. Is that time when God is going to cleanse us. God is going to transform us. We're going to get out of the boat and walk in the water. It is at that time, the time in which we're living right now, that those that with him are called and chosen. Oh, beloved, let's press on. Let's be qualified. Let's be what God wants us to be. All right, tonight, we're going to have prayer line again. Those of you that left the other night, you missed the glory. I mean, some people came unglued around here. One fella took Brother Glenn down the aisle of dancing and shouting all the way. And a lady got so happy. Well, not just one, just again and again and again. If you want to be set free, now you know something that's bothering you. Be honest with it. And we'll pray for you and we'll set you free in that area. That's not a complete work. Like peeling an onion, I say it again and again. Always remember the onion. You peel one layer and there's another layer there. The next one's in charge, he'll be starting to give you trouble. You start doing things that you never... Well, I never had problems with that before. I know, because the demon powers... The ruling demon always keeps the others under subjection. He'll let them act a little bit, but the one that is released the most has the most power. The one that is yielded to the most is the one that becomes the dominant force in that particular area. They have a chain of command.
they hate one another. We've dealt with demon powers when one would cry, come and help me, come and help me. And then say, why, he's laughing at me. He's laughing at me. Satanic force is in derision. But, beloved, they're out with one purpose, and that's to destroy you. And so when you peel the one off, the ruling one, the one that's in charge, then something else begins to show itself. All right, get at it. Amen. And then as soon as you get rid of that, well, then get at the next one. And let's continue on in this process. The closer you get to God, the smaller are the things that he deals with in your life, but smaller he does. Some of you are backslid. You mean after tonight? Yeah. If you once danced in the Spirit and praised God up to here, and you now are down to here, even though you're head and shoulders above everybody else, you're still backslid. For we're foolish to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. For that's no criteria of holiness. Holiness is regards to your relationship with God, to the degree old King Uzziah dies in your life. I hear him say, boy, I used to. Well, that's the old age experience. And my Bible says he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. So don't let your experience get too wrinkled up with God. I tell you, you can age fast when you're not praying, you're not going to church, and you're not seeking God. You think you can go without going to church? Well, you're disobeying God. You're a disobedient child. God says, forsake not the assembling of you. Am I meddling? Praise God. I'd be disappointed if I wasn't right now. All right. Now, we're going to pray for you. You know what's in the way. You know what's on the throne. You know what gives you trouble. Maybe your wife doesn't, nobody else does, but you know. You might not all know or recognize all that's down below, but as we begin in deliverance, you'll find out very soon. But you'll find a new experience with God because you'll begin to be a channel through which God can flow. You'll begin to be a vessel meet for the Master's use as you begin to purge yourself and fill that area with the praise and the presence of God. Let's bow our heads for a moment, shall we? Sweet Jesus, I love you so. I'm thankful for this privilege, Lord, to understand and to be counseled and directed and challenged by your precious word. And even now, Father, as every head is bowed, you're dealing with your children. You're dealing with each and every one that is here concerning Uzziah upon the throne. And oh God, our hearts cry out that we may be what you want us to be. God, our hearts cry out that you may bring and be able to bring the coal off the altar, that we will be transformed and be amongst those that fill the temple. My Father, touch lives now. In Jesus' name, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Maybe you're visiting here tonight and you've never been in a service like this before. In fact, you're not saved. And the whole plan of God, the whole future plan of God, you have no part of, you can't comprehend. But God tonight can cleanse your heart. God tonight can begin a work in your life and begin the transforming, changing that is needful for you to be in heaven. To be a part of God's plan. Or maybe you're here tonight and you've been stagnant. You've reached a little plane of learning and you've been at ease in Zion. You've been, and God describes it, naked and wretched and blind and poor, and you don't even know it. But God right now is using this message tonight to tell you there's so much more than you've been taught all these years. There's so much more ahead of you. That Daniel saw, that the seven thunders uttered in the book of Revelation. There's so much more that is ahead of us. The climax, the purpose of God is coming to the final hour. Maybe you've just been churched out. It's time you be honest because you're going to wake up too late. Or maybe you're here tonight and you finally realized that there are things in your life that you need out of the way. would all of you, everyone that I've spoken to, I'm not going to call you down because we're going to have a prayer line, but there's something about surrender. The universal sign of surrender is the upraised hand. No matter what language it is, no matter what country it is, when you slip your hands up, it means surrender. And tonight, you just slip your hand. I want you to just hold them up. I want every head bowed. I don't want anybody looking around. I want you to feel free to slip your hand up and lift it up to God. It's me, Lord. It's me. Those that have stopped along the way, those that have obstacles in the way, those that are unsaved, those that have a need tonight, it's me. Would you just slip it up right now? Hold it up. Father, even right now, begin this work. As you see the surrendered lives, those that are acknowledging, those that are not afraid, like Peter, Lord, they're saying, Lord, bid me come. Lord, bid me come. Lord, bid me come. Let the oil flow all the way down in their lives, Father. Touch them in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray, I speak, the shackles broken. I decree in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. God bless you all. You can put your hands down. Would you all look at me? I love you. Let'll preach a little harder tonight. So I want to make sure that you understand that I love you. I'm thankful for the privilege of being here breaking the bread of life. Now, we're going to minister now. Those of you that stay, we want you to help us minister. We want you to be of one accord in unity. Because this is a body ministry. We all have a part. You will give an account when the day comes when we stand before Christ. You'll give an account for what you've done tonight. Don't let these moments and these times slip by. This is an opportunity for ministry for you. It's an opportunity for you to break those blockages and let the oil flow a little farther down. This service tonight was an opportunity for us to give praise unto God. You see, He's coming not in a rain cloud somewhere, but in that double portion of incense, that double praise, that cloud of incense that will fill the Holy of Holies. He's appearing in that cloud, not a rain cloud. That's why the worship service, that's why all of this is so important. That's why the bells have got to ring. Because they let us know that the priest is still alive. That's what the Word of God says. They have the bells so that they would know the priest is still alive. Amen. I want two lines. One over here and stop right at the end chair. And one over here and stop at the end chair. That way everybody can still see and minister. But we want to pray for you. I don't care what your need is, but especially those of you that have blockages. You want God to help you in the way. Come on. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. When Uzziah said, it's me, Lord. Oh, it's me, Lord. Then's when the coals from the altar came and cleansed him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Elder. Appreciate that. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, newly, even today, she made a progress. Now, I curse you. In Jesus' name, you will loose her. You will loose her now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I break the yoke. I break the yoke. I command you, Lucifer, now, in Jesus' name. Come out. Yes, come on out. Yes, come on out. Yes, come on out. In Jesus' name. You spirit of the occult, you religious devil, I curse you with the curse of the fig tree, and I command you to wither and die, even as a fig tree. You will come out of her now in Jesus' name. Yes. Yes. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes. Every bit of you. Nothing will remain. No root, no seed, no nest, no rubble.
Hallelujah. Slip your hands up right now, dear. Slip your hands up. My Father, this, I thank you for it. Oh, our God's good. If you stay with us, unity. Don't be wondering where I get the names. Unity. My Father and my God, just slip your hands up. It's coming real easy. In Jesus' name, you fault-finding spirit, I break your hold. I curse you. Nitpicking. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break your hold right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, heal. Heal, Lord God, heal. And in the name of Jesus. I command you to come out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every bit of it. Glory be to God. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Savior. Father, fill her now with your glory. Up just a little higher. You see them. Never mind. They move. There's a nest, and the mucus that comes out is not the demons, it's the nest that they abide in. Lots of times they'll come out with the mucus, but that's not any sign. You don't necessarily have to have any sign. You see, I say this, I say it again, especially because we've got new people here. If you want to fight with my fist, then you're liable to get in trouble. Because you're going to have a battle. You might conquer one fist, but I'll hit you with the other. But if you cut off my head or conquer the head, my whole body dies. The higher up the ladder you go in the chain of command, the less there is in resistance. You conquer the king of the city and the whole city falls. If you want to fight with all of the footmen and the archers on it, you're going to have a big battle. And God is bringing his children on into a knowledge of the hierarchy and the upper echelon so that we can do a work. Those of you that have been involved in deliverance and you've wrestled on till 1, 2 o'clock at night holding somebody down and everything and gone home with rug burns and everything, you've said, how in the world will we ever get the job done? You're going to get the job done because God is going to increase in power in his children. The bells are going to be ringing. We're going to turn the battle to the gates, and the gates are praise. And we're going to begin to get the names. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come here, David. Glory be to God. Don't you underestimate this boy. Bless God. You say, what do you mean, Brother Bunch? I would to God had as much of me as he has of him. Some of you have a barrel and you got a thimble full of water. And some people have a thimble and got it clear full. You think about it. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless David. God, we thank you for the progress that is being made. We thank you, Lord God, for one day it will be for your glory and for your praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.